All right, welcome to Dorkbot. We're here at the Encounter Studio. They were kind enough to give us space for our time this week, so I guess month. So thank you very much for the space down here. We also have a donation bar in the back if anybody wants a drink. And please give donations for the space and for Dorkbot so we can keep doing this. Tonight we have for you Incoherence, which is a really interesting audio mixing application, and hood.theory.org, which will be our first speaker after the screensaver comes off. Which is an interesting, we'll see, it's an interesting presentation about what you can do with mapping and sort of social information and mapping. After the talks, we'll have some open dork and then milling around if people want to stay. And again, please do have a donation. It sort of lets us run this thing because it's not entirely free to do, and the spaces donate their time for us for free. And we do this for you as free as we can, which is, you know, your donation. So I'd like to introduce Matt and Ross with hood.theory.org.
You can sit. Let's go. Okay, so this is the neighborhood project. So about 3 years ago, I moved to Divisadero and Hayes and found a lot of people asking me exactly what neighborhood I lived in. And I would say kind of, it's halfway between Upper Haight and Lower Haight, and it's also just east of the Panhandle and just south of Western Addition and just over the hill from Hayes Valley. And what I really found is I found there's a neat little neighborhood there, and there's no real neighborhood name for it. And it's just kind of, it's either in several different neighborhoods or it's not. It's in its own neighborhood that has no name. And so I was wondering, you know, everyone was wondering what neighborhood it was. So we went to the San Francisco official neighborhoods map. And that didn't help at all because it put me a block away from the four corners between Buena Vista, Lower Haight, Alamo Square, and Panhandle, which really didn't help at all. So I came up with this. And the way it works is very simple. There's a scraper that pulls down housing posts off Craigslist every 5 minutes. And it uses a regular expression to pull out the neighborhood name and the location, so the address or an intersection more often. And then it uses the free geocoder at geocoder.us to turn those addresses and intersections into latitude and longitude, and it draws them on the map. And it draws them on the map using what's called the Blobby algorithm, which Ross implemented. And now we're going to look at the map. So this is a map of a lot of things. First, I will show off. I live about here. And you can see it's in, this is, it's kind of hard to read. This is Alamo Square, NOPA. This is Lower Haight, and it extends up there. USF Panhandle comes here. Haight-Ashbury comes within a block of where I live. Hayes Valley comes within about half a block of where I live. Western Addition comes down within a block of where I live. So really the answer is I live in six neighborhoods. The colors are chosen right now. Actually, I can show the key. It just picks a bunch of colors basically randomly. It runs through and kind of picks ones as far apart as possible. Unfortunately, there are so many neighborhoods. There's 35 neighborhoods on the map that it's really, like, the colors aren't really very good, but there's so many that I have to use lots of colors. It is. It's not doing it very well because I'm not the best person with graphics in the world. But you can see, so this green is Lower Pacific Heights, and that's Pacific Heights. And this green in here is them overlapping. But as soon as you get more than two colors overlapping, it stops doing blending. So, improving the colors would be one major improvement to this. There's a bunch of interesting stuff. It's funny stuff like someone living in the middle of Golden Gate Park. Then there's things like this down here, this is, so that gray dot, if you look up here, is a Richmond Seacliff dot that's totally in the wrong neighborhood. And there's actually a bunch of those. Sometimes.
Is there people that pretend to live?
Well.
Or strangers?
It's interesting. If you think about it, this is not just a map of where people think their neighborhood is. It's a map of where people want you to think their neighborhood is because they're trying to rent their place on Craigslist. So there's nothing listed in like the Tenderloin at all because and there's not the neighborhood does not exist on according to Craigslist. There's not a lot of stuff in Bayview down here. There's not a tremendous amount of stuff in the Excelsior. Oops. Oh, it doesn't. Yeah. There's not a tremendous amount of stuff down there. That goes into something else I wanted to say. This is a map of a lot of things. It's a map of housing density. It's a map of turnover rate. So out here in the Sunset and the Richmond, you can see this has been collecting data for 2 years almost with a several month gap because Craigslist changed their HTML and I didn't notice. The regular expression didn't work anymore. But you can see, so compare the density here in Richmond Seacliff and in the Sunset to the Mission and Noe Valley and Castro and even up here in Pacific Heights and up into the Marina. Those neighborhoods are much higher densities. They tend to be almost entirely 3 and 4 story apartment buildings and flats, whereas out here it's, you know, 2 story, 2 bedroom houses or 2 bedroom units or even single family homes out there. So those are more likely to be owned properties, not rental properties, and there's much more people living per address out there. What else? Van Ness, right here, right in here, is a very clear divider. So you can see that the Marina, Pacific Heights, Russian Hill, Knob Hill, Lower Knob Hill, all of these basically, I'm running the mouse along Van Ness, they basically stop at Van Ness. So people have a very clear idea that Van Ness divides these neighborhoods. In here, this is mostly public housing in these blocks in here. And you would expect, I guess, that places for rent don't come up on Craigslist if they're in public housing very often. And then down here, this is where all the city administration buildings are. Nobody lives down there. This is Financial District. You can see where there's a surprising number of places for rent down there because that's all office buildings, or at least I thought it was all office buildings. This is Chinatown, where people do live, but apparently they don't use Craigslist to post. I don't have any idea why. Lower Knob Hill, actually, is funny. It's this kind of, this color here. And it's hard to see with these colors, but the neighborhood is completely contained in either downtown Civic Van Ness and Knob Hill. So it's a completely, Craigslist should remove it from their database. It's a completely superfluous neighborhood. When I started this, Alamo Square and Nopa, that neighborhood didn't exist. There's a new restaurant called Nopa, and people have started calling the neighborhood Nopa. And one of the things we did when we wrote the program, we made it detect new neighborhood names. So if people start using a neighborhood name on Craigslist a lot, the program will eventually pick it up and say, hey, I think this is actually a real neighborhood, and it'll start mapping it. So that happened a couple months ago, even though Craigslist added that neighborhood about 6 months ago. I think it happened about a month ago that it started showing up on the map. So let's see. I could probably speculate about the map for an hour about all the different reasons for various things. Does anybody have comments or questions? Or
I just have a question about the map. I mean, I've lived in the city a while, but I never heard of this until like a few months ago.
It basically started a few months ago. calling the NOPA means North of the Panhandle. There's a North of the Panhandle newsletter, and people were calling it NOPA before that, but the restaurant, which is right on my corner, got a lot of press. It's a very fancy restaurant, and it's kind of created the neighborhood. And the neighborhood's been changed in the last 6 months, too. So, people refer to that. I don't think there's any data, or there's certainly not enough Craigslist posts in the Tender Knob for it to draw a neighborhood. There might be a few, but I've actually been looking in the database from time to time, and there's not very many.
Back there.
What we're seeing here is an aggregation of all the data over the last few
years. Yes.
Have you looked at it over time?
No, I want to do that. Yeah, I don't have lots of free time, but it would be really cool to do an animation and show the neighborhood's change. And actually, one thing I'd be really interested in is whether when Alamo Square is introduced as a neighborhood on Craigslist, whether the number of posts in the surrounding neighborhoods go down slowly.
That sounds lovely. It's another pattern. Time of your work.
Oh, yes.
And there's a graph for a neighborhood.
That would be really interesting. Yeah. That would be, yes. Oh, okay. He said there are probably yearly patterns to where when people move. So close to USF and UCSF, there would probably be high turnover in September and June, and probably lots of open places posted in the summer. So if you did a time series, you'd be able to see spurts in certain areas at certain times. So you've got, yeah.
Are the colors, is the saturation showing density of like multiple posts layered on top of each other?
No, it's not anywhere near that.
The blobby algorithm is essentially, if you have a single dot, it just shows up as a circle, but if you have two near each other, then they kind of blob together and form a larger surface. I can go into that if you really want to know how that works. Those O's are addresses which have no neighborhood associated with them, and so if they've been posted and somebody left off that information.
One thing. Yeah, so these empty circles are addresses with no neighborhood, and one thing I was kind of wondering about is if people would just post their address and not pick a neighborhood if they didn't know where. So I was wondering if you'd see lots of these O's in areas outside neighborhoods, or if you'd see them clustering, say, along Van Ness, where the neighborhood's ambiguous, but you don't. They seem to just show up all over the place. So the only thing is that down here in Bayview, there's not very many posts at all. So this purple is Bayview. And there's not very many posts in Bayview, but there's a lot of posts outside the neighborhood, so maybe people who live there are less likely to say what neighborhood it is when they post, as opposed to, say, the Mission, where there's huge numbers of posts that say the neighborhood. So.
If you had a third dimension,
I actually saw peaks for how many posts have come up in certain blocks and things, so you'd have kind of a mountainous landscape on top. That would be one thing. I don't know, do you have an idea?
No, I was just seeing what you thought.
Okay.
You said your interest in kind of changed over time.
Yeah, I mean, you could do, I guess that would be better shown with an animation, though. This Zoom thing, I pulled it off of some other map site. It's JavaScript. There's a clipping region that moves as you move the mouse. So, okay, so you're.
I write for a med blog in San Francisco, and we've been working on this post for a while, and we're getting people up to name the no-name neighborhoods. There's people that live in the neighborhoods to name them. So, for instance, like the neighborhood between Lower Haight and Castro, people have been calling it Haightsboro or Castrate.
Yeah.
And also, I grew up in Haight, and the neighborhood that you live in, as far as I know, locally, for the past 10 years, has been called the Goth Ghetto.
Goth Ghetto. Wow. I should look for that in Craigslist. Yeah, somehow. Okay, there was a question over here.
Oh, I was going to ask the same thing, addressing, like, not the mission, but the mission with an N, or the tender knob, or tranny pipes, or tranny like that.
There. Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, I would think, you would think that the pattern would be, first a slang term comes up because there's no good term for that for that area, and then it gets popular enough that someone at Craigslist notices and puts it in, and then it becomes. That could be. Yes. Yes. Okay. What? That's probably where NOPA came from, ultimately. Craigslist does have houses for sale on it, but I haven't. It would be a good idea to scrape real estate sites. Also, the website, I won't show it, but the website has a little form where you can put in your address and your neighborhood, and that's been collecting data as well, much, much slower. But it would be neat to, at this point, graph that and see how it differed. So, because that's just, that would just be a map of where people think they live, not where renters and real estate agents think people want to live. So.
Okay.
Have you tried looking at the cost of renting for a neighborhood so that you could just track trends and say the optimal time to move or things like that?
That would be cool. I haven't done that. The data we've been collecting doesn't have that, so I haven't been pulling that out. It probably would be, yeah, you just look for dollar sign and some numbers and, yeah. Okay, two questions back there.
A lot of people online wants to know how often you refresh your base.
Oh, the map is redrawn every night. So, yes.
Have you ever tried overlaying zip code?
I have no idea. There's a rough correlation between the official neighborhood maps of the city and some of the neighborhoods, but not super official, not super good connection. Something else, there's another area up here, right in here, and here along the water. And actually, you can see here, there's no posts here that are actually on whatever this street is in the marina. And there's no posts up here. And this is the very top of Pacific Heights, where like the really expensive mansions are. And so you would think that people living up there aren't selling their homes. They're not renting them. They're not. And if they are, they're not using Craigslist for it. This is also a really posh neighborhood in here, right along the back of the Presidio.
Where is Richmond so
crowded? What?
Where is Richmond so
crowded? Oh, okay. So, yeah, out here there are these streaks that run along the east-west streets. And my thinking on why this is happening is that the blocks are really narrow, and Craigslist encourages you to put it in an intersection, not an address. So if you live in the middle of a block here between these two streets, between the two big streets, you're just going to put it in an intersection, so you're much more likely to get points along the east-west streets than in the middle. The other explanation for that may be that you're more likely to find big apartment buildings on corners rather than in the middle of the block. And I think that is actually true out there. If you go down Geary or one of the streets out here, the apartment buildings will be on the corners, and in the middle of the block, it'll just be, you know, two-unit or three-unit homes. So.
Good idea.
I think it's pretty telling that in the Bayview, there hardly any dots, and there are no black people here in Thorpe Bus. And, like, black people Craigslist, and there aren't as many computers down there.
Yeah.
And that's something that I don't know, would be interesting to look into and see if you could map economics and race within this map and see how that relates to computer usage.
There's Chinatown.
Yeah, well, the other thing I pointed out is Chinatown, where, you know, it's not necessarily a poor neighborhood, and it's certainly a high-density neighborhood, but people there aren't using Craigslist, and maybe it's because they don't have computers, or maybe it's because they have other ways of renting. Yeah, maybe it's a language thing. Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay. That'd be another source to scrape, although that would be really time-consuming. So, yeah. Are we up on time? Are there more questions? Or
you're doing a fair time.
Okay.
Go longer or stop if you want.
I don't. Yeah. I think I've exhausted a lot of my rampant speculation. Some more interesting things about the data. There is Sunset District, and there's someone who's putting in. So let's see if I can find it. So this dot here, the little kind of orange one, and this one here, and that one there, those are in Sunset District. But all this blue is in Sunset Parkside. And so there's someone, I think, who has a couple of rental properties out in that neighborhood, and they really think that the neighborhood is called Sunset District, not Sunset Parkside. And so they've put in enough posts to create a neighborhood. That's the only explanation for why this gets to be a neighborhood and there's only three or four posts. But there's only three or four actual locations. So
is this in public?
Yeah, the source is available. I need to put up a new tarball. It's super, super beta. It was just a quick hack. It's not maybe a little difficult to work with, but it's up. Brandon?
What's the threshold for creating a neighborhood?
Okay, so the threshold for creating a neighborhood is if it figures out with the average number of posts per neighborhood. And if a new neighborhood has 10% that many posts, then it decides, okay, this counts as a new neighborhood and creates it and adds it. The number's like 75 right now. Last I looked, because I was looking and watching, but it changes as the posts come in. So I was looking and watching because I knew that Craigslist had added Alamo Square and NOPA. And so I was watching the Alamo Square NOPA post and trying to figure out when it was going to become a neighborhood. So a month ago it was 75. It's probably 80 or 90 now. Something else that's funny. Everyone, or a number of people who've looked at this, immediately asked for a key, even though the neighborhood name is right on top of the neighborhood. My only thinking on this is that the neighborhood names are actually so close to where the real official neighborhoods are that people assume that that means this is where the official neighborhood is, and this blob is some neighborhood that may or may not be that neighborhood. So. Did you?
Can you overlay streets? Is that built into?
No. Another cool thing to do with this would be to take this data and overlay it on Google Maps or something. The background image is just a map I pulled off of a government website, and I used it because I was able to get the latitude and longitude exactly on the map.
Do you want to tell us a little bit more about how you built this? Just like what went into creating it? How long ago?
It didn't take very long. It's just a couple of Python scripts and a database and thrown together. I mean, yeah, you can look at the code if you want. It's not, yeah.
This might be a difficult question, but when you mouse over the various color areas, does the tooltip, is there a tooltip view of what either the unique neighborhood is or the mixture of neighborhoods that color is?
No, that would be really cool to have also. I've thought about a bunch of different ways to make the data more manageable, but it's all time that I don't have, really. So if somebody wants to make it better, go for it. Yeah.
Did you say that this is every post for the last 2 years?
So it was collecting data. I don't remember exactly when we started. It collected data for about a year and a half, and then it fell down for about 6 months. Craigslist changed their HTML pretty radically, and the regular expression completely stopped working. And then about a month and a half ago, I noticed that it had fallen down and went in and fixed it. So
you don't die away with time or anything, right?
No, but it would be really cool to do a time.
You can't use this to look for mountains.
No, there's actually another website that does that. It's also taking Craigslist housing posts, and it'll give you, it uses Google Maps, and it will give you a map of the city and show you where all the posts are. What's it called?
Housingmaps.com.
So, all right, I think, yeah, that's the project. Oh, and the website is hood.theory.org.
That again was hood.theory.org, or the neighborhood project, and that was Matt and Roth.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my daughter, and she wants to talk in the microphone, apparently. Do you want to tell people something?
Yes.
What do you want to tell people?
Pink.
You have to speak into the microphone if you want to tell people stuff.
And it was. And the kangaroos and forgot their tails, their pro sticks a long time ago, and it was just and. Just took a rock and ate it all up. And then a big kangaroo did it. And it just had, and just the kangaroos got.
All right, there's your interim entertainment. So next up we have Incoherence, which is, I've actually seen present once before at CodeCon, and it was really a fantastic talk, one of the better talks at CodeCon ever, and I hope they don't let me down this time. I'm sure they won't. It's a really great product that shows audio visualization in stereo and really lets you see stuff about the mix in audio that you really can't see any other way, and they've got some great examples for you to show you some cool music and stuff, I'm sure, and this is a Greg and Steve, you can have your turn afterwards, okay, Bella? So again, Incoherence. Oh, and remember, there is the bar, and please donate. Both to the bar. Oh, okay. Thanks to Monkey Brains for streaming live video.
Hi. Hello. Okay, yeah. As John said, this is called Incoherence. It's a product that we made under the name of OMG Audio. We really only have one product, but there are other little plugins and stuff that you can get off our website, so omgaudio.com for people that are interested. And let me talk a little bit about where we started. First of all, this is Steve, my brother, and my name is Greg. I was going to audio engineering school a couple of years ago in 2004, and a lot of the people that work there are used to stereo mixing bands in recording studios where largely the equipment is analog and there's no visualization of any sort, spectrum analyzers or anything else for mixing music. One of the ways that people talked about visualizing the sound in their head is a pretty intuitive fashion. Obviously, the most intuitive being when there's a sound coming out of a left-hand speaker, you feel like the sound is coming from that direction because physically it is. The same with the right hand on the other side. People also seem to pretty universally say that when a sound is louder, it sounds like it's closer to you. When a sound is quieter, it sounds like it's farther away. And the last property, which is, I would say, pretty obvious, is that sound mixers were saying that high frequencies sounded like they were up high and low frequencies sounded like they were down low. I think this is largely due to the fact that low frequency travels through tables and the floor and stuff like that. So you can actually feel objects vibrate when low frequency information is going on. So after talking to Steve about this for a little while, we realized that one of the dimensions, frequency, is pretty well played out in spectrum analyzers, the bar graphs that you see on stereo equipment. That'll tend to have low frequencies on one side and high frequencies on the other side, and they've got a bar for each individual frequency. So if you whistle into one of these things, a bar goes up in the center at the frequency that you're whistling. We realized that you could take that information and plot it in a 3D graph and have that frequency information from bottom to top, like I was talking about a second ago, and the panning information, the left and right information, mapped to the sides of the screen, and you could plot a dot that was proportional in size to the amplitude. So if a sound is louder, it'll be closer towards you. So to demonstrate some of these things, Steve's going to play a few short clips that I made. I apologize if they're a little bit hard to listen to. They're just plain tones. Okay. So what you'll see here is a dot pretty much in the center of the screen. Turn the mains down. That's 260 hertz, and it's center panned, and there's no phase information whatsoever, so it's just basically one dot. We're going to play another one. Okay, we can do this one. This is a sweep from 20 hertz to 5,000 hertz. It might sound like this is about to hurt, but I promise it won't. You saw the dot getting smaller at the top there because it faded out. The next one is just modulating the amplitude, so the volume gets louder and quieter, which you can hear pretty audibly. Okay, the next one is panning modulation, or just panning back and forth. You should see this dot move from the left to right of screen and back. Okay, two more, maybe one. So phase is one of the more difficult concepts to understand on this graph.